Welcome, everybody. I guess they want me to dance or something, right? Yeah. I got the moves. I might not look like I got some moves, but I got some moves. But that's not what we're going to talk about today, okay? Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. Welcome to East Lake Playas. Come on. I'm so excited. I'm very excited. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. That's a song, if you guys, right? You guys know it? No? Hey, yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah, just get, right? You guys know it? Or am I too old? Woo-hoo-hoo. So I'm excited about this new series. I love TJ. So wherever we have a church, whatever city we have a church, East Lake Church, we're going to be calling the series I Love That City. Like, for example, we have a church in IB. We're going to call the series I Love IB. We have a church in Torrey Pines. I love Torrey Pines. I love Venice. I love LA. I love Temecula. And here is I Love TJ. And from the bottom of my heart, I really do love TJ. I really do. It's a city where I was born, believe it or not. The Tijuas, right? I love 664. Anybody else born in Tijuana? Hey, come on, come on. Bring it up, come on. All right? Anybody else? Tijuana? The Tech? Tijuana? Nobody? Oh, whatever. Okay. So, yeah, I was born here in Tijuana. So I really do love the city. I didn't always love the city. I remember the first time I got deported. Right? I was like, I'm not from here. Right? And people from here knew that I wasn't from here. My Spanish is a little different. Spanglish, you know what I'm saying? 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 Right? I didn't always. I remember the first time I got deported, I was here. It's like I used to come to visit, you know, and party. You know? I loved it when I was 16 and I could enter the 18 and over clubs. They didn't really check your ID, and I was like, yo, party. You know, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, you know? I loved it. But when I got deported, it's like it's not just visiting, right? You're here, right? Everything bothered me. The people, the smell, right? But now, I really do love TJ. Do you know why? Because it's where I got to know God in a totally different level. If this hadn't happened to me, I probably wouldn't be in where I'm at with God like I am now. Here in Tijuana is where I got to learn what my purpose in this life is. So now I see Tijuana with a godly perspective, and I love it. You know? The smell doesn't bother me. The people don't bother me. Even you know, when they don't stop in the stop signs. Now I'm one of those too, you know what I'm saying? Don't stop, just go, and they flip me off, and I'm like, hey, hi, you know what I'm saying? Now it doesn't bother me anymore. I love Tijuana. Say it with me. I love Tijuana. I love Tijuana. Like, you really mean it. I love Tijuana.
I love Tijuana.
You really do love Tijuana, bro, you know what I'm saying? Yeah? Do you know what makes... you know what really makes a city great? It's not the tacos and it's not the restaurants. It's not all that stuff that where people go to different cities and they're like, oh, I love the restaurants and I love the food there and I like all the clubs and all that stuff, right? That's not what makes a city great. You know what makes a city great? What? People. People makes a city great. When people who respect one another, care for one another, love one another, and in turn, serve one another. Right? And I want this church, to be part of making us, our city, great. I want this church to be part of city, making our city great by making the people and families great. Right? We also want to serve our community during this service. And I love this idea of serving our community out there, where people can see us loving our community. And there's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go farther, go together. That makes sense, right? So I have this question that I'm going to be asking. I have like maybe three questions I'm going to be asking. Here's the first one. What if our church prayed together? What if this church believed together? What if this church blessed the community of Playas together? What if? Question I asked last week, and I asked it in the volunteer meeting, is this one. If our church disappeared tomorrow, would our community even notice or care? Here's another question. Is our presence in this world as people who claim to be connected to God beneficial to the people around us? To be honest, you know, let's keep it real, right? Right now, it's no. People wouldn't notice or care if this church disappeared tomorrow. Right now, people wouldn't care. And I think that's a big problem. It really bothers me right now. It really does. It really does. And as a result, we decided that we want to be a church that even those who don't attend our church or don't believe what we believe would be able to say, hey, I might not believe what they believe, but hey, I'm so glad that they're here. I'm so glad that they're my neighbors. I'm so glad that I work with one of those guys, girls, right? Is it like that now? Or do you, they, you know, hey, I'm a Christian. They're like, ooh, see ya. How is it? Right? Why is it like that? I want to get to a place where our church, you know, where our community, where the people at our job say, you know what? I might not believe what they believe, but I'm so glad that they work with me. I'm so glad they're my neighbors. I'm so glad that they're in the neighborhood, in the community. Hey, where they're saying, hey, those East Lakers are awesome. Right? If you're not awesome, don't say you come to East Lake, okay? That was in my notes. I just... So here's your first fill-in. If we're going to love our city, we must understand that we are sent people. Write that down, please. We must understand that we are sent people. So if you're here and you're checking out this Jesus thing, you're not a believer, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you're here with us and checking out this Jesus stuff. And I'm excited that you're going to be able to hear what Jesus people are supposed to be doing. No matter what their job or career is, you're going to learn what Jesus people are supposed to be doing. And it's great information to know before you jump in yourself. Where you could maybe even put them on check. Hey, are you a Christian? How come you're not serving the community? hello, you know? What? So, if you're a Christian, step it up, step it up, step it up. Now, if you're a Jesus person, you're not saved and rescued and forgiven just to sit back, kick back, and watch Netflix all day. Right? To say, you know what? Me and Jesus are good. Me and Jesus are just, hey, I don't go to church. I don't serve. I don't give. I don't nothing. It's just me and Jesus, man. It's all just, I got mine. That's not how it's supposed to be. You know, to go along your normal life as usual. You know, that option is off the table. If you're following Jesus, you are saved to be sent. You are saved to be sent. Jesus people are sent. People, go and tell your neighbor, hey, you're sent. Go ahead, go ahead. Tell your neighbor, come on.
You're sent.
Yeah. Yeah. But say it like, you didn't see it, I didn't hear it.
You're sent. You're
sent. Wow, that's... Look at what it says in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. If you guys have done the discipleship class in this church, you probably were asked to memorize this, this verse. Here we go. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus said, go. Right? He didn't say, chill and get some popcorn and watch Netflix on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and you're on a roll and you stay up late because you can't stop watching the series, and you know, and then you can't wake up in the morning. You guys want to know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying from experience. I just heard stories. You know? I just heard stories. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And making disciples means people, helping people find and follow Jesus. Helping people learn the Jesus way of living. And we get this passage from a scripture that's where we draw our mission statement that's here on the wall. People helping people find and follow Jesus. Say it with me at the count of three. One, two, three.
People helping people find and follow Jesus.
That's what we do. That's our mission statement. We're people helping people find and follow Jesus. This is what we're all about. This is what we're all about in the world, in our city, in our neighborhood, in places of work, if we're Jesus followers, right? Jesus said it another way to his disciples. In John 20, 21, he says this, I give you the gift of peace. In the same way the Father sent me, I'm now sending you. Let me stop there for a little bit. I give you the gift of peace. What does that mean? Just try to picture yourself. Put yourself in that time, okay? Before Jesus, the believers of God were under the Ten Commandments. And they didn't even only have Ten Commandments. They had other hundreds of laws and rules, right? So in order for you to be right with God, you had to follow all these rules and regulations, right? And if you didn't, there's all kinds of sacrifices and all kinds of, you know, cows and bulls and wolves and pigeons and all that stuff that you would have to sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. So Jesus comes along, right? And he says, just believe in me. I'm paying for you. That's why he was sacrificed on the cross, right? So imagine that. You don't have to follow all these rules to be right with God. Believe in me and what I've done for you on the cross, it's done. He said it himself. It's finished. Wouldn't that bring you peace? Imagine doing all the work over here, trying to be, I mean, if you don't think it's a big deal, grab just the Ten Commandments, put them on your wall, and go for it. Go for it. It's impossible. It's impossible. So that's why when he says, I give you the gift of peace. So this Jesus mission had been passed on from disciple to disciple, from follower to follower for thousands of years. And it's the same thing now, the same mission now. We are sent people on Jesus' mission to help other people find and follow him. People helping people find and follow Jesus. So during this series, we're going to unpack what it looks like to be sent in our culture, right? We're building a strategy on a word. So write this down. Here's your next fill-in. We are sent to bless people where we live, work, and play. So all these three are important, okay? The first one is where you live, where you hang out with your family, with your kids, with your wife, with your pet. You know, my kitty cat is part of my family, you know? So, yeah. I'm weird. Yeah, it's okay. Right? The second one is at your workplace, where you spend maybe 40, 50, 60, 70 hours. I don't know. I know that some of you work 60, 70 hours, right? But there's a third place. And this could be your favorite restaurant or coffee shop that, you know, maybe you go to maybe twice a week, maybe three times a month. But they know you. You know you show up. They know your order. They know what you want, how you like it, and all that. Because everybody wants to go where, you know, they know your name. You know, like the what is it?
Cheers.
Cheers. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. The troubles are all the same. Everybody wants to go. What? Come on, help me. You want to be where everybody
knows your name.
Yeah. That's old, bro. You guys know that? Wow. This just gives it away, but I'm 27. Why are you guys laughing? It's not a joke. Yeah. So everybody wants to go where, you know, people know your name. That's the third place. And just think about it right now. Think of that favorite place where you like to go eat with your spouse, maybe with your family, that they, you know, maybe already know what you want and how you like it and all that stuff. Think of that place. It could be a taco shop. It could be a bar. It's okay, you know. You know, you might find me one of those once in a while, you know, drinking a beer. So, yes, think of that place. Okay? You guys got it?
Yeah.
Now go ahead and tell your neighbor where it is. Go ahead. I heard Las Pulgas. I heard. Like, hey, it has to be normal restaurant. Normal restaurant, guys and girls. Not just the guys, the girls too. So all these three places are important. They're very important because God's strategy for reaching and restoring our world has always been to have his people bless the world. Right? God blesses me so I can bless others. That's how the kingdom of God works. God blesses me with his love, so now I can unconditionally bless or love others. God blesses me with his forgiveness, now I can forgive others. God blesses me with his joy, then now I can encourage and bring joy to others. God blesses me with resources beyond what I need so that I can give back, sharing of what God has given me for those in need. That's how it works. That's how the kingdom of God works. Check this out. It's on the screen. It says, there's nothing in your life that God hasn't blessed you with that he doesn't intend for you to share with others. You are designed to be a conduit. Not everything that comes to you is for you, like all of it. You know what I'm saying? Not everything that comes to you is for you. You are a conduit of blessing where you live, where you work, where you play. And a foundation verse for this series is the idea of blessing others comes from a passage very early in the Bible. Genesis 12, 1, 12, 2 to 3. So at the count of three, I want you guys to help me read this out loud. Are you guys ready? All right. At 1, 2, 3. So God is saying, I want to bless you. Right? God is saying, I want to use you to bless others. God is saying, I want to specifically use all of you to bless the whole earth. That's what he's saying. And the idea of blessing is central, is a central focus of God's covenant relationship with his people throughout scripture. In the history of God's blessing on his people goes all the way back to his promise to Abraham. For those of you who know the story. And then the blessing, blessing his descendants, the nation of Israel, to bless the world. But when Jesus showed up, that blessing and promise changed to what is called a new covenant. I know you guys have heard that. Every time we have communion, we talk about that, right? And that covenant, where he's talking, blessing all the families and people on the earth. Jesus actually passed that to us, the church. Us, we're the church, not the building. Am I explaining myself? Okay, you guys got it? Cool. Let's continue. Matthew 5, 15 through 16 says this. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Our good deeds, the way we live and love, should cause those where we believe, work, and play to take notice and thank God. You guys get it? Let me say it again. Our good deeds, the way we live and love, should cause those where we live, work, and play to take notice and thank God. Hey, I might not believe what they believe, you know? I don't understand why they do what they do, but hey, I'm so glad that they're in my community. Right? I'm so glad that they're at my job. I'm so glad that they're in my neighborhood, in my school. Those East Lakers are awesome. Those believers, those Christians, man, they're cool. You know, they serve. They care for one another. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome? So be cool. So here's a few. Here's a series of questions. Here's your next filling. What if every church blessed every city? What if every church blessed every city? Think about that. All the churches did this. What I'm talking about right now, where we are actually seen in the community, actually seen in our neighborhoods, actually seen in our schools. Imagine if all the churches in Mexico, all the churches in the U.S., and all the churches all over the world did this. How might the reputation of Christians be different in those cities? Where we would get to a point where we exist to bless our city, to make our city a better place to live. I think people would take notice. You don't think? I think people will take notice. And I think people who don't even believe what we believe would appreciate it. And thank God, we would appreciate it, and it would just bring down the walls in that community, at your job, in your school, to be able to share your story. Right? I remember the times I've been to the beach where we went to pick up trash. Right? You're picking up trash, you're picking and you're filling all these bags, and that gives you the what? No, the willingness, the strength, the power, the motivation, the to go and talk to people. Right? It does. You're out there, you're picking up trash, and then all of a sudden, hey, hi, how are you doing? And boom, boom, boom. And it just opens up the, when you serve people, it opens up an opportunity for you to talk to them. Here's the next question. What if every Christian blessed every neighbor? Well, not my neighbor. If you knew my neighbor. What if every Christian blessed every neighbor? How might our complex change, our neighborhood? Be different, right? If every Christian blessed every neighbor, what if people in our neighborhoods knew each other by name? Cared for one another, looked out for one another, and blessed one another. What if? Jesus said that that's the second most important thing we could do, is love our neighbor as ourselves. So what we're going to do is we're going to use the word blessed. The word blessed, we're going to use it as a rhythm, five simple rhythms to share Jesus. Here's the first one. You guys ready? B equals to begin in prayer. A lot of us think that it begins with a plan. No, it does not. It begins with prayer. That's when you're praying, that gives you those ideas of what to do, and you could kind of, you know, let you know where he's, the area where he's already working at. The second one is listen. Why is this important? Because every person you know is looking for someone to listen to them, who cares enough to listen to them, to listen to their hopes, listen to their dreams, listen to their pains, listen to their needs. Jesus was a master of this. And we want to be people who listen to the needs of our community and friends. The next one is E equals to eat. Did you know that eating is a spiritual practice? Jesus went from meal to meal. Woo. Yeah? Meal to meal. Party to party. I like parties. Invite me to your party. I'm cool. He went from banquet to banquet, from feast to feast. But eating a box of donuts or a bag of Doritos all by yourself in the middle of the night, that's not a spiritual practice. That's satanic activity. Share! You know what I'm saying? You hear the bag in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. Right? When you share a meal with someone, there's a possibility that conversations can shift to important things, right? And relationships are formed when that happens. When you eat with somebody, it's a spiritual practice. The S, the next one, stands for serve. Like I said earlier, we're going to do this in a big way. At the end of this series, on October 29th, we're going to bless our city. I'm not just talking about it here. We're going to do it. And I hope that you join us to do this. We're never more like Jesus than when we serve. Before people want to know what we know, people want to know if we care. You guys get that? Before people want to know what we know, people want to know if we care. The reality, when we serve others, we gain the right to speak into their lives. When we meet their needs and bless them, I think we'd see opportunities open like never before to share your Jesus story. The last one is story. I think after you've prayed for people, listened to them, eat with them, served them, you earn the right. You will see God create opportunities to share your Jesus story. I know there's people that, you know, skip all that, and they're in the street corner, and like, you're going to hell. I don't think that's very effective. It's like, let's be people, you know, let's serve them, let's have a meal with them, listen to them. God wants to use us to bless our neighborhood. So what would happen if we began to listen to our neighbors, eat and hung out together, serve them and share a story? What would happen? If you're a Christ follower, you're part of God's plan to bless your neighbor. Lord, do something about my name. No, no, no. He wants to use you. What if, you know, you're there because God put you there and he put your neighbors around you, but you didn't maybe invite them for a meal? Doesn't have to be steak. It could be sopita. Sopita's awesome, right? So each week we're going to go to and teach through our part in the blessed tragedy. And we're going to be talking about all these points that we talked about all through these letters. And today I want to focus on prayer. Here's your next fill-in. Prayer is both now as how we discover our mission, how we do our mission. Prayer is how we become aware and ready for what God is already doing. God has divine appointments. God has created moments for you to step into each day where he wants to bless somebody. Prayer is how we discover it and have the courage to do it. So I want to challenge you to begin each day with prayer. Doesn't take long. Lord, help me to be that instrument of blessing. God, help me to see who I can bless today, who I can offer hope to and encourage, giving them encouraging word. Listen to them, help them, serve them. We have resources in your in your program, it looks like this. Can you guys please grab that? Where it says, I think it's the body, labor, emotional, social, and spiritual. Body, pray for their good health, protection, and strength. Pray for their work, the labor of their hands, and their financial security. Pray for their emotional health and quality of life, for joy, peace, and hope. Pray for their relationship with their families and friends and with you. Pray for their salvation, that they will come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. So just use this to pray each morning for your neighbors, family members, people around you, your coworkers. Look at what it says in the back, the verse, 1 Timothy 2:1. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them and to intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Will you guys do that this week? And I hope that becomes a habit for maybe the rest of your life, I hope. We're praying for our neighbors, praying for our neighborhood, praying for the people around us. Here's a great question in prayer as we start this series and head into this season of bless. Here's your next fill-in. God, where are you already working where I live, work, and play? How do I join you? One of the things that I'm going to ask you to do is to be here each week. Try to make it here each week. Don't miss. Go through this blessed tragedy with us and let God work in you and then through you. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do is to serve in our city with us. We're not going to be, on October 29th, we are not going to be here. We're going to probably meet up in the parking lot and we're going to go to our locations where we're going to serve. And whoever shows up is going to get one of these shirts. At the end of the day, we're going to have an all church. Whoever participated, we're going to have a barbecue right here in the parking lot. So it's going to be great. We're doing what God is asking us to do. Go serve our community. I would like you guys to link arms with us and make all this possible. Are you guys down for that?
Yes.
There's going to be an opportunity for you to sign up right here on the table. Just sign up. And we're going to be working on making some teams. October 29th, there's not going to be any service here. We're going to meet up, and then we're going to go to our locations with our shirts. I love TJ. You're going to be able to take that shirt home. It's yours. Okay? So that's how you'll be able to get one of these shirts. So I'm going to pray this prayer on the screen, and we'll be done. Thank you guys for showing up. Thank you for being here. I know this is a different talk than normal because it's not all about us. This series is about serving our neighbor. Cool? All right, here we go.